What's so great about? What's so great about?
Welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that asks great questions and gets great answers. My name's Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, Terry, and you?
I do well.
Good to hear it. Look at us.
Look across the table.
You're right over there.
There he is. No more of this Zoom. Hey!
Nonsense. Yeah. I tell you.
It's Zoom sense.
The difference in my general, like, I stress myself out before the home record. Like, no one else, everyone else is just going about their business.
Yeah.
But because it's peak, like, bedtime.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to get food in. I'm trying to make sure Kerry's set up so that she doesn't have to do anything, especially because she's, like, you know, heavily pregnant and all that. So, like, even for the last one on Sunday, it was like, I was using the adapter because I was cutting the grass. I'm like, that's not set up upstairs. She can't watch TV. I'm like, bringing it in through the bed and all this sort of stuff and plugging it all in. This is just nice. Now, granted, you have to trek across town. I don't mind it.
Honestly, nope. when we can make it work, it's like, I'm the same at home. Like, I'll be like, I haven't done me notes. And I'll be like, sitting there with the book and Fabian trying to talk to him. I'm like, I was like, just ignore me then. I'm like, I'm just trying to do my note. We're recording in 20 minutes.
And it's like, wouldn't you
do it earlier? I'm like, yeah, I know.
Because I'm an idiot.
Okay.
And it's like, you're doing all that and you're walking the tightrope of like, don't upset the general vibe.
Yeah, and like, it's also like, I'm taking over the living room to record. Now you go upstairs. Yeah, and
over there.
Yeah.
Well, I've got my water here, Terry, if you... This has been a long time since I've been able to do this.
No, I can do it with my fizzy one.
Don't pour when I'm pouring.
I'll pour.
Hey.
I'll pour whenever the hell I want.
And look at this. I've brought
your
the
travel
apple
pack
and blackcurrant from home.
Is it a Robinson's?
Sun Quench. Even better. Well, Aldi.
No name is better than like my waddy.
Look at this. Oh my god. My waddy is absolute filth.
There's nothing more. Again, one of my online shop,
or something.
Yeah, my online shop, you know, stories when it's like, or the Dunn's brand. It's like, we don't have Dunn's, we got you my waddy. And Faye's like, oh, name brand. I'm like, the worst fucking name brand.
I don't want that name.
Yeah. I'd go.
Like, I'd rather
drink 2 year expired Robinson's than drink a fresh.
Robinson's is your go to then?
No, my go-to is Tesco or Dunn's, you know.
You can, double strength now.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a...
I can't go back to single strength.
I've got a 2-litre lovely lime at home waiting for me.
Waiting for me. Well, in the 3 days since I've last...
Two? Quick turnaround.
What have you been up to?
Nothing. But I've got some stuff that I haven't talked about in a while.
Oh, that's good.
That, you know, I want to bring up. I saw it a few weeks ago. Ambulance.
What is it?
Oh, you haven't seen the trailer? Jake Gyllenhaal?
No.
And I'm going to butcher his name.
Go on.
No. It's the guy who played in the new Candyman. It's like, something the second or the third. It's good. It's Michael Bay. It's a bit of Bayhem.
What's Gyllenhaal doing with him?
It's good. It's like, well, it's not. It's okay. It's, you know what's good about it is... They use like practical drone shots. There's loads of these cool shots. They flip cars and you're like, oh, that exploded. You know, it's all practical. You know?
What do you mean?
Like, it's not CG. It's not like,
right,
you know, blurry fire. Like, you know.
Like Bayhem did in the 90s.
Exactly. But for 2021.
Bad Boys. That was Michael Bay, wasn't
it? Yeah. It's set in LA because the whole thing is ambulance, but then the L and the A in the middle is red. So you're like, oh.
Delightful.
And the whole thing is, it's like they rob a bank, goes wrong, and then they hijack an ambulance that like one of the police officers that was shot is being transferred on. So like the two brothers that are robbing the bank are in the ambulance, have taken over the ambulance.
And then while the police hostage, essentially.
He's a patient. So there's the EMT is the hostage keeping the police officer alive. And it's like, right. Yeah, it's good.
Who does Gyllenhaal play?
He plays the bank robber.
Right. That does sound interesting.
It's pretty good. It's a bit too long. It's like,
how long?
It's like 2:10, and you could make it 1:45, and it would be perfect.
Yeah, like all movies that are 2:10.
No, I don't agree with that, but you know,
not at all. But that's what we're saying.
But I was reading it, kind of the weird thing, and I've been reading it online as well, where it's like Michael Bay, like, oh, it's so refreshing, and I'm like, 20. This is how far we've come in movie making. Like, if he'd released this 20 years ago, I'd be like, another trashy Michael Bay action film. Now we've been so starved.
That's the thing. We're so starved for good.
Oh my God, we're back.
And they're using. And so, like, I assume the budget was higher then.
It was like 45 million.
Then they can all do it.
Yeah.
Well, if he can do it, they can all do it. This CGI nonsense, this Marvel Phase 4 shite of just like, I'm out of it. Like, I'm watching it. I'm out of it. Like, as soon as the CGI comes in.
Yeah, and it's. I don't know if it is COVID. I don't know what the reason is that, like, what's happening with these CGI production houses or whatever. It just seems.
I'd love to get to the bottom of it. How has it gone backwards? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, it's just like, well, the rest of the world is going backwards. Let's just,
like, why don't we
pull out all the integral the components to the CGI machine?
Feige's like, don't eat this. Yeah. Sir, please.
Not in 2022.
Yeah. Cost cutting. It could be that, though. It could be that, you know, they're like, right, well, we need to cut back on shit. You know, because if you think about it, like, okay, Doctor Strange made 187 million over the weekend, which is
brilliant. That's good, isn't it?
Brilliant. But, like, before Spider-Man, the three before that were, like, 187 million is close to their total. You know what I mean? They were opening to, like, 70, 80.
Right. So it's back to the boom times.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, it's just... I'm confused, Andy. I'm an old man.
I can't get a base level anymore. Like,
no. It's weird. It's as if they, like, finished Phase 3 and then they were, like... a contract was up with, like... this one particular digital effects house, and they were they're like, oh, we just want like a 10% raise, and Disney are like, what about these guys? They'll do it for half the price.
I think no one will notice.
Those kids will eat whatever I serve them.
So what would you give it then out of 10? Ambulance.
I think I give it like 3.5 on Letterboxd, so 7.5, 8, you know, it's around that. Like,
I don't think that math works out, but
3.5 out of 5, and
that's a 7. Stinker by your performance, by your.
If only Letterboxd let me do quarters.
Quarters,
I love it.
I know, you in these quarters,
I love, like, it, man.
Just, you know what I should.
I need it.
I tell you what it should be. Just give me a percentage. That's how you get to the fine tune.
But that's too much.
No, because
I'm gonna be like, it's a 78%.
Yeah, 78. That's basically like. Well, it's something. I don't know.
77.5 actually is what I would give it.
Like, you know? Yeah. I think that's
7.75, you know?
Yeah. Yes. So that's the same. It's rounding off. Okay. Good. Mm-hmm. What else you got?
I watched, because I've been talking about doing a bunch of Raimi stuff. I watched.
Raimi.
Yeah, Sam Raimi.
Okay.
We only talked about him 2 days ago.
I thought you said rainy.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that too, because it had been raining.
Nice.
Now it's a scorcher. But I watched The Quick and the Dead recently. Have you seen this?
No, of course I haven't.
It was one, it's like 95. So it's like one that was on.
1995 or 95 minutes?
1995, and I think it's like 100 minutes. You know, it is.
Pass.
5 minutes too much.
No, not for me. 90 something. Yeah, no, that's fine.
95.
Yeah.
All right.
Good year.
Yeah, it's a western, and it's like, it's about this town, I think it's Mexico, they never tell you where, you know, it's on the border, right, and it's Mexico. Like, Gene Hackman is the rich guy in town. He's not the sheriff, but he's the big bad rich man that, like, lives in the big house at town, and every year they have a gunslinger tournament. That it's like, oh, it's so good, Andy.
But doesn't he normally do horrors?
Raimi?
The Raimster.
Yeah, but this is him kind of like this. He had done his three Evil Deads, he had done Darkman, and it was like, this was the studio being like, okay, like, let's try him out, and him trying to move away from it a little bit.
Yeah.
There's still, like, some of the kills in it are like, holy shit, there's, you know, somebody gets a giant chunk of their brain, and, like, the camera is in, like, a cartoon almost, where it's like, the whole
big hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. And cool. That's what he was like. He was like, cartoon horror.
Right.
You know, like,
what's his big movie? What's Raimi's?
Evil Dead 2, Spider-Man, the first three Spider-Man movies. Like,
are they regarded as the best ones?
I think the first two are possibly two of the best.
It's the Tobes, Maguire ones.
But Willem Dafoe, and you got Molina as Doc Ock, like two.
Now, would that be the popular consensus, or would the No Way Home, Can't Get Home, Where's My Home, bollocks? Are they all? Is that the general consensus now that they're?
I think people kind of say Tom Holland is the best Spider-Man, or the closest you get to Spider-Man in the comics, because he's like, oh, a motor mouth and a kid. Whereas Tobey Maguire, when he's playing a teenager, is like 29.
I think if you could put Tom Holland now in those...
I don't think it fits, though, because he's too quippy. Like, you know, it's not earnest.
Too much of a snot boy, you might say.
It's not earnest enough, whereas, you know, the Raimi ones...
Tobey Maguire is a bit too like, well, I'm not so sure about that.
Hey, MJ, what's going on?
Yeah.
But he also is, like, what's really cool about the Spider-Man movies is, like, he pulls a lot of ugly faces when he's, like, doing lifting. It's like... you know, it's good.
What did you give this?
This is a big recommend. I gave this, like, 4.5. This is, like... it's 90%. Like, here's the cast. Let me give you the cast, all right?
Please. Got
Hackman. You got Sharon Stone as the lead. Right.
Very nice.
Don't you give me that face with Hackman, by the way.
Possibly, I don't know how I feel about Hackman.
Possibly the greatest actor of all time.
Big talk. And you don't even believe that.
I do.
You don't.
Oh my God.
Next week it'll be someone else. It'll be
Hackman is
Alexander,
like,
whatever the fuck.
Hackman is like top five of like just never bad. He might be in a bad movie, but he's never bad.
You can say the same about Anthony Hopkins.
No.
He's always good. You never say he's a bad performance.
Bad Company. Terrible performance.
Is it?
Yeah. It's him and Chris Rock, like.
Yeah.
Ooh. So Hackman, Stone, right? And I know you love how I do my ands and wits or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Go on.
So it's Hackman, Stone. Keith David is in it, who's fucking deadly.
Of course.
Russell Crowe, I think it's his first American movie.
Jesus.
You got the guy from Saw. Would you like to play a game? Tobin Bell.
Okay, don't know.
You know him.
I know Saw, but I don't know what he looks like.
Yeah, he's in it. You got Lance Henriksen from Aliens. Excuse me, Aliens. but who gets the and?
Who gets the and?
A little baby Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh.
95 DiCaprio gets the and.
And what does that mean? What does that mean, though? Why do you cream your jeans for the and?
Because if you get the and, you're like, oh, you're the big person. You're the big name.
Right.
And this is kind of the inverse. It's like, this is the new kid. He's been nominated for an Oscar at age, like, 13 or something. But, like, if you give him the and in the movie.
What was he nominated for an Oscar for, out of interest?
Gilbert Grape, I believe.
Wow.
He's
been around a long time.
You see him in this. Like, he's like a baby face. He's supposed to be maybe 17. He's like, it's before Titanic.
How do you rate teen DiCaprio?
I like him. I remember I've only seen Basketball Diaries like once, and I remember being like, well, this kid's good. Like, This Boy's Life, he's really good in. Gilbert Grape, he's very good in. Titanic is like,
Titanic's probably like his worst one almost.
Yeah, but it's like the nexus point of like,
there's like post.
See you later. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm out of here. I'm a rocket to the moon.
As indie credentials flew right out the door.
I think you'd love it.
What's it on?
I had to get it through nefarious means.
Never getting it.
But I think you and Kerry would love it because it's kind of like a video game in that it's like, it's like two, you know, fights a day or whatever like that, like, and yet it's kind of like a horror movie as well. Like, it's the you're not gonna be like, well, what's going on now? It's literally like, it's literally like these people are shooting each other, and like,
if it's very clear what's going on.
But like at the start, it's not even they shoot each other to death. It's like, quick draw. If I shoot you in the shoulder, and you're down, I win.
Right.
And then like halfway through it, like Jack Hackman being like a real shit, he's like, da da da. And they're like, huh? And he's like, because he's the rich guy in town.
Right.
He's like, they are like, okay, you heard him. It's to the death.
I don't know what it is about Hackman.
So good.
I think my first introduction.
We'll do a Hackman movie one of these days.
A movie, maybe. Kerry.
We could do a whole series on him.
No.
We definitely could. I could list you 10 movies now. We could do a Hackman.
Kerry said I was, because we had to have the quick turnaround to watch the French Dispatch. And she said, she's like, the next season is going to be Kerry's picks, and you're just going to have to react to it and see what
You've got an Andy's pick coming up. Let her do.
Yeah, I will. I'll have to. But yeah, anyway,
that's right, folks. We're in between seasons. We're doing an Andy's pick.
Hey, a fun one, huh?
They're all fun.
Yeah. How many you got? How many got more? Is that it? How many you got?
One more. Okay. That I think you would like, because I was home yesterday after work and Faye had been off with Bonnie yesterday. He's like, oh, watching The Lion King. It's that kind of afternoon. We don't normally have cartoons on for long periods in the house, but we're,
it's okay. Yeah, you could say.
No, I mean, I would, but like, but then Faye had gone out and Bonnie was like, I want to watch more. And I was like, okay, what's next? And it came up on Disney Plus, Lion King 1.5. Have you seen this?
No.
It's fun. It's pretty
one
fucking
and a
funny.
Half.
Yeah, so it's like, it's Timon and Pumbaa doing like a Mystery Science Theater.
It's Pumbaa.
What did I say? Pumbaa?
Pumbaa.
Yeah.
You don't know them at all.
P-U-M-B-A.
Yeah,
Pumbaa. There's no umlaut over the U.
No, but it's how we pronounce it. I'm pretty sure it's Timon and Pumbaa.
Timon and Pumbaa.
No, it's not Pumbaa. That's how you know that's wrong. Anyway, sorry.
I did love that TV show you were singing the jingle to. Oh, I loved
it. That was great.
So good. But this is like, it's them doing a Mystery Science Theater where it's, you know, the two of them sitting in front of the screen watching The Lion King, like, as told from their perspective in that, like, where they were before they met Simba or, like, what they were doing in between.
And then does it have them meeting Simba? Like
yeah, like Simba, Matthew Broderick. They get Matthew Broderick to do the voice.
Yeah, I heard he did that.
Yeah.
Killed a guy.
Yeah, I know. Killed a guy to get the part. Julie Kavner is in it. She plays Timon's mom. Jerry Stiller plays the uncle, Uncle Mel or whatever. You know?
The lion, Uncle Mel?
No. Okay. It's Timon's uncle.
All right.
Yeah, so it's very Jewish. You know. All
yeah,
the
I was
meerkats,
thinking. Yeah.
But
it's good, is it?
I was like, there's some really funny jokes. Like, I was like, I wasn't expecting much. You know, like, Lion King is, at this point, I'm like, it's good, but
I wouldn't be like, yes, Lion King.
Yeah.
Like I would be with, like, Aladdin.
Even Aladdin now, I'm like, wah, wah.
You think?
Yeah.
I guess.
You know?
It's more the songs. I think it's got the best songs.
I don't know. I think, actually, for me, the one with the best songs is Princess and the Frog.
Oh yeah,
it's got some really fucking
bangers.
Yeah,
yeah, I like
Keith
that.
David, you know, set of pipes on him.
Unbelievable! Yeah. It's two Keith David references,
yeah,
in a row.
Yeah,
nonetheless.
No, I mean, we should do What's So Great About Keith David.
Oh, I think we know What's So Great About.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we know what I was trying to do it. I lost it.
You're trying to do your Elroy.
I lost it before I started.
but like, if Joni is ever looking for, you know, a cartoon to watch on Disney, you could do a lot worse than stick that on. She would enjoy it. You would enjoy it. Some of the jokes in it that I'm like at one point they're like, oh, we found a new house, like it's right beside Pride Rock, and then it was like you just hear all this like banging when they go to stick it up, and he's like what is going on out there, and it's like all of a sudden everything is different colors and it's in the middle of that like, oh, I just can't.
Right.
It's like, what is this? It's like purples and yellows everywhere. Yeah,
like
stuff like that. They're like, oh, this is written by like an adult to entertain him. It's like, well, I don't want to sit through another kids movie. What if I write a kids movie for me?
Do you think, like, I was going to say, Disney don't really have those sort of, like, it's all Pixar, I guess, now, or Disney's, like, Frozen and Moana and that sort of stuff.
Encanto.
Like, yeah, but, like, they don't have, like, a Man of the House.
Hey.
Or, you know, even, like,
Heavyweights.
Heavyweights, Big Green, you know, to a lesser extent. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, those sort of, like, Live action, the Mighty Ducks.
I think they do. Because I was looking through. I was like, okay, where do I search for this thing or whatever? And I was like, what are these titles? Stuff I've never heard of. Or it's like,
yes, they do.
It's just we're out of touch.
We're not looking for them. Yeah.
But having said that, you would never. It's not like you have. You know what I mean? Like, they have Chevy Chase for Man of the House.
Yeah.
And they have Ben Stiller for Heavyweight. It's not like they're getting
some big name.
Zach Galifianakis is Mr. Fuddlesworth or whatever. Right, that's my pitch.
Cross that off. Nailed it. Did your letterbox it?
No. Blinking
One and a Half. It would wreck your street cred over there on Letterboxd. Like, Sky's review on Lion King 1.5.
Why not? But I never took the time.
Okay.
Well, look,
I'm dying
to
get into the old French Dispatch of whatever the fuck
of
it's called.
Yeah, I can't even remember. Let's get into it.
It began as a holiday. Eager to escape a bright future on the Great Plains, Arthur Howitzer Jr. transformed the series of travelogue columns into the French Dispatch, a factual weekly report on the subjects of world politics, the arts, high and low, and diverse stories of human interest.
You don't think it's almost too seedy this time?
No, I don't.
For decent people.
It's supposed to be charming.
He assembled a team of the best expatriate journalists of his time. Berenson, Sazerac, Kremenz, Roebuck Wright. These were his people.
Just try to make it sound like you wrote it that way on purpose.
We take as the subject of tonight's lecture Mr. Moses Rosenthaler. Certainly the loudest artistic voice of his rowdy generation.
Simone Naked Cell Block J Hobby Room. I want to buy it.
It's not for sale.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes.
In short, the picture was a sensation.
The kids did this. Obliterated 1,000 years of Republican authority in less than a fortnight. What do they want? Freedom. Full stop.
I'm naked, Mrs. Kremenz.
I can see that.
Lieutenant Lescafier.
He is the great exemplar of the mode of cuisine known as police cooking.
The aromas of the kitchen cast a spell, which was to be mortally broken.
As you know by now, we have kidnapped your son.
A message from the foreman. 1 hour to press.
You're fired.
Really?
Don't cry in my office.
That was, of course, the trailer for The French Dispatch. It's the 2021 movie, the 10th film directed by Wes Anderson. It was written by Wes Anderson, Roman Coppola, Jason Schwartzman, and Hugo Guinness.
And where did he find these guys?
Hugo Guinness wrote Grand Budapest with him.
Oh, okay.
And then Roman Coppola and Jason Schwartzman are like his best buddies, I guess.
Yeah.
Owen Wilson was kicked to the curb fairly.
Yeah, poor Owen Wilson.
Quickly. I mean, he's doing okay.
It was good to see him, a little bit, but...
You miss him.
I do miss him.
Yeah, from, the writing, I think.
Because that's something, like I said, this series has really opened my eyes to my appreciation for Owen Wilson and my appreciation for Ed Norton.
Yeah.
I didn't like Ed Norton before starting this series. And now if I hear Ed Norton.
Give me more. Don't just limit yourself to showing up to fucking Wes Anderson movies. Give me some...
Yeah.
Maybe he's like, I only trust Wes Anderson. Because he hasn't done a lot of movies.
He seemed unlikable to me until we started this.
Mm.
And now I like... And Owen Wilson, I didn't know he was a writer at all. I didn't know he co-wrote the first three of Wes Anderson's movies. And I just love him now. Yeah. I love Owen Wilson.
I mean, I always loved him.
I love him more.
It's a different slant to the Wedding Crashers.
Now it's more of a respect.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I respect him more. damn it, do I respect you. Anyway, sorry.
Care to take a stab at the budget?
What was the last one, Isle of Dogs?
35 million was Isle of Dogs.
I will say, I'm always off on this, 25 million.
Ding, 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 ding.
On the money?
On the money. Saving the best for last, huh?
Yes.
Now,
what's his
opening weekend? Now, this one opened to, it's a bit different because it was delayed a year because of COVID.
You know, don't even tell me how many theaters. That's just going to throw
me. Okay, all right. Opening weekend.
Opening weekend. 5 million.
1.35 million.
Okay. Okay.
Domestic total?
Domestic total. 20 million.
16.
You're and within five.
Yeah.
Worldwide?
Yeah.
It's pretty big in France.
It's the name of a Netflix series.
35 million.
46.
Oh, I was closest with this.
I'm trying to think of, was there any movie that lost money? And I'm thinking,
Life Aquatic?
Maybe Life Aquatic.
That was a 50 milli.
Yeah,
budget.
I think that was the one that didn't make.
Never give him a budget like that again.
But it seems like he doesn't want it. Like, he could have asked for anything after Grand Budapest, I think.
I can't believe that he made the other ones for so little. I mean, in comparison to the other one. He seems to really, like, I get the impression he scouts the locations.
He does,
meticulously.
Like, I mean,
rigorously.
What do you call it? Darjeeling.
Yeah.
Like, that was a hit. That was a hit. That was like a, you know,
yeah,
it doubled its money. But like,
you keep talking, I'm going to turn off that AC. It's a bit cold in here.
But like, that one, he literally toured around India, you know, to find the locations first.
Great job.
Not bad. Nice work if you can get it. And then literally, they were like, okay, well, we stopped here. We're going to retrace our filming. We're going to go back to these places again. Yeah. Like, you know, so.
Very impressive locations, I would say.
Do you want some FF?
Please.
He wrote the role of Zeffirelli specifically for Timothée Chalamet. Do you know
that was the young fella?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The quote was, "I never had the inconvenience of thinking of anyone else for the role."
Huh.
Yeah.
He kind of reminded me of, who was he reminded me of? That other guy. Looks like him.
I'm going to have to push you on this. What was the other guy in?
I'll never get it.
Never
I hate when Kerry does this as well. The guy from the thing. I wouldn't know his name.
No, you're never going to get it.
Kind of looks like him, but like 10 years older.
Cool. Yeah, nice one.
Yeah, sorry. It's terrible. I would be furious.
Yeah, cut that. This is the 9th collaboration with Bill Murray.
Yeah.
8th with Owen Wilson. And 7th with Jason Schwartzman.
Okay.
You know what one Bill Murray wasn't in?
Bottle Rocket.
The first one. He's in everyone since, which I was surprised.
Yeah.
I thought he might have taken, he sat one out, but no.
I was making a little mental note as we went on if Bill Murray's in it.
Does it have a Bill Murray in it?
So I knew, I would have known. If you had hit me with a bit of trivia, I would have known 9.
For this film, improvisation was heavily encouraged. Normally it is the opposite with a Wes Anderson film. Yeah, they said they had such fun time doing that. Because they weren't used to it.
Now, improvising as in just like some, because it didn't look like there was any improvising in it. So like, were they improvising the story?
No, it's the script, but it, like, they were able to, like, you know, he was giving them a little bit of leeway with lines and stuff like that. Like,
okay,
which is good.
I
was listening to a podcast after we did our Grand Budapest episode.
Yeah,
I was listening to a podcast where there's a scene with F. Murray Abraham and Jude Law at dinner, and F. Murray Abraham says a line, and then like, they're playing the tape of it, and like, Wes Anderson comes in, he's like, actually, I just want you to say it like this. And I was like, wow, like, he, like, even somebody like F. Murray Abraham, who had, you know, had won an Oscar for Amadeus, like, way back in the day, and he's a very respected actor,
he's not afraid to tell him,
he's not like, just do it this way,
yeah,
just have fun with it, you know. Like, so I was surprised to read that, like, you know, they basically, all the cast were saying it was so much fun on this shoot.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. Wes Anderson has said his inspiration to do an anthology film was why he drove for this. And he wanted to do a film dedicated to The New Yorker. magazine.
Right.
So that's what the French Dispatch, his version of the New Yorker.
Oh, okay. I did read it was like a love letter to journalism.
It definitely is. Like, you can see that. He purchased a set of 40 years worth of New Yorker magazines when he was in Austin University for $600.
Wow.
Yeah, he said he would read them all the time, and then he saw that like some other Berkeley University were selling them bound, and he paid $600 for them.
He's quite an odd fellow, isn't he? I mean,
he likes what he likes, you know what I mean? Like, he has these interests.
Yeah.
I would never spend 600 euros.
But like, he pursues his interests.
Yeah.
Which I quite like.
Yeah, I appreciate that about
him. His interests are just a bit odd, maybe, but.
Yeah, not for me.
No.
But I, you know.
Okay.
The third influence was to make a French movie. He said it turned into a movie about what he calls reverse emigration, whereas a bunch of expats move somewhere else and then make that their home. Like, they build their own community.
Yeah.
They're kind of...
like, make this town of ennui.
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 Ennui. And then there's, like, you know, he kind of cites influences from Godard, Truffaut, you know, all this French stuff.
Of course.
There's loads of kind of... I find it kind of uninteresting. I didn't have my book as well. I didn't purchase the book on the French Dispatch. So I didn't have any of the
interviews.
Is
there a book on it?
There is one on it. Huh. I figured it probably would have been a waste of money. So that's my FF, okay. My fun facts.
Okay, very good.
Andy.
Terry.
What did you think of the movie?
I fucking hated it, Terry. So bad. I think you probably knew I was going to.
I did. At the watching the first one last night, I was like, he's not going to like it.
The first part of it, I probably liked the most.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They really, like, this was, it got to, like, Mank, I'm thinking of ending things.
I knew you were going to be thinking Mank as well. Like,
it was like, I'm like, I was saying to Kerry, I'm like, I'm just...
what are they talking about?
I'm like... I will say, like, I'm not going to just... I didn't take many notes. I'm not going to just focus on the negatives. It looked amazing. I think it looked like...
this was nominated for 0 Oscars. I don't know how you don't nominate it for some of the craft stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the production, the cinematography,
This was what was good about how it looked, but what was wrong with the movie. I think this was the clearest example that I could see of style over substance, I think.
I disagree, okay. But we'll get to me.
Yeah, because I want to know what you think after this, after my rant. This was Wes Anderson dialed up to 11.
Mm.
You know, this was him, like... I could just picture him feverishly masturbating behind the camera or something. Like, just it was just after about, like, the Benicio del Toro stuff, Space Nicio, as I call him now.
Hey, there he is.
He's
not Space Nicio in this.
No, but I thought that was quite interesting. I thought Adrian Brody. I thought this was his best.
Oh, second best for me, but he's so fucking good. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I thought he was good. Then. The more I went on, when I went on then after that to the other ones, it was like, I just got tired of it. It was just too, like,
shame.
Just shut up. You know what I mean? It was just, it's like everything talks to this. Yes, well, I talk like this. Well,
I thought you might
October 17th. And I was just like, like, they lost me. Like, it was like, do you remember I was saying that, like, the first 10 minutes of Grand Budapest Hotel, it was a bit like, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to like this.
It's not very plotty. It is not very plotty.
No, and this was all that.
Your eyes, no.
This was all that. This was like Grand Budapest, but with none of the charm and none of the comedy. And you know what I mean?
There's some pretty funny bits in it. Like,
I didn't see them. No. Then it got to the point of about 30, 40 minutes in where I'm just like, I'm just looking at this. It was like with Mank. I'm like, I know they're talking English. I know they're saying words and they make sense structurally, but what are they talking about? Mm. It was too abstract. It was too, like... you know,
when I went to see it in the cinema, because I knew we were going to be doing this.
Do dish, tell me.
I knew we were going to be doing this series.
Even when you were going to see it in the cinema?
Yeah.
Jeez, you're working well ahead of
time. I know, man. I told you. Like, I knew we were going to. This. It was down between Wes Anderson and Paul Thomas Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Love the Andersons, huh?
Yeah, man. The Magnificent Andersons. I suppose the Magnificent Ambersons.
Didn't get the reference.
No, it's the Orson Welles movie.
Didn't get it.
What am I doing here, folks?
Go on, what did you think of it? And be honest, Terry.
This time?
No, just what did you think of it?
First time around, I was like, okay, it's his least accessible, or one of his least accessible ones. You know, it's like, at one point during the second story, she starts to talk about a play that she had written about what happened to Mitch when he was in the war. And as I was watching it in the cinema, I was like, I like this, but the average Joe filmmaker is going to be like, what is this?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Bunk beds? He's jumping out a window? You know?
It really lost me around that point. Around the Timothée Chalamet story, I was like, I don't know what's going on here. And I was like, I'm just looking at it. But it was just like, I would have almost rather the book, because I would have loved if this movie had have just been all the different, like, set, you know, the different, the look of every second of it looked great. If I had just seen just pictures of that in a big book, you know, like your Grand Budapest book or something, but just give me all the different, like, it looked, it was like a big art piece, but not enough of a mood. There was nothing happening. It was fucking infuriating, actually.
But I don't understand. How can you say that there's nothing happening?
I mean, it's like things are happening, but what does it all mean? Like, yes, the people are moving and talking.
But they're three short stories.
Are they, though? What's the second story all about?
It's about, like, a standoff between a student revolution in France and the government, like, you know?
It's... I don't know if it was because they were, like, talking in, like, written style.
It is,
you know what I mean? Like, he's like, I can't even do it, but it was just it was so, like you said, inaccessible, I thought.
Like, the Frances McDormand part, like, when she's talking, she's talking as if she's typing up the article.
Yeah.
Like, that, I'll give you that you're like, okay, it's not 100% for me, but, like, I think Timothée Chalamet's performance in it is brilliant. I think he's so good. Like, where he's like, they're in the bed together, and he's like, you told my mother I was here? You know, that kind of, like, he's like, she should know. Am I in trouble? You know, or like when he's talking to the two of them, like, she's confused. You know, he's going back and forth between the French girl and Frances McDormand. I thought he was great. Like, I was like, wow, he could really...
he looked well. Yeah, like, he looked good on camera.
He does look good on camera.
I don't know who he is, but, like,
You don't know who Timothée Chalamet is? He's, like, the hot shit.
He's reminding me of your man... Fuck, I have him!
It's not the guy from Dune, is it?
No.
It's the same guy.
Oh, sorry.
Lady Bird.
Sorry.
Call Me By Your Name. Big movies.
He looks exactly like an actor who looks just like him, but like 15 years ago.
This is terrible.
Sorry. I know. Sorry. Go on anyway.
No, but like I actually liked it way more this time.
Did you?
I thought it was... I hear your criticisms. I really do. Like, it's not like... sit down and you're gonna, it's not a popcorn movie, like,
big movie.
Yeah, it's not Ambulance, you know what I mean?
No, I'd rather take Michael Bay any day of the week, you know. And I don't mind, like, you know, a bit of a more abstract sort of story or whatever it is, like,
I think,
fact that it's like a played out, like, you know, publication.
I think 10 years ago you would maybe be more into this.
I think I'd have said I liked it.
Okay.
But now I'm more self-assured.
And a wet blanket, as we covered the other day.
Oh, yes, but I at least know what I likes on TV. And I would have thought it would have made me sound cooler to say I liked it 10 years ago. So I would have said, yeah, actually I kind of like that. But like if I had it on mute, I think I would have liked it more. You know what I mean?
Well, let's go through the story.
Do we have to?
Yeah. We'll just do the token,
right, okay?
Okay. First one
I thought was the most accessible.
How, and this is going to sound really creepy.
Do it.
But how good is Léa Seydoux?
Is that Simone?
Yes. Like,
I literally just have a note of just Simone, dot, dot, dot. Because I didn't know what to say, but I just knew I liked
it. She is, like, when I saw it in the cinema, I was like, holy, because I'd seen her in other movies.
She's not real.
Yeah, it's like I've seen her in other movies. So I was like, yeah, you know. And then,
is
like,
she French?
She's French, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, her big breakout was Blue Is the Warmest Color, which is like a lesbian French movie. And like she, but she's like in Bond. She's, you know,
is she?
She's in the last two Bonds. As
I thought she was fabulous.
She's, but when I saw her in the cinema, I was like, holy shit! Like she looked like, obviously because you're not, you, I've never seen her wear clothes on before. But like,
yeah,
even when she has the clothes on, like there's just like aura about her where you're like,
yeah,
you know, there's,
it's, yeah, she, it seemed like she's not, wasn't like she almost wasn't a real person or something. You know what I mean? But she is.
I love the way she carried herself in the film where she's like, she electrocutes him.
Yeah.
And she's like, is that what you want?
Yeah.
And they call him like a baby and stuff like that. Like, I thought Benicio.
And I usually don't like him. Mm. And I usually, like we said before, don't like Adrian Brody. But I liked the two of them at the start of this. Like, I thought, like, he's actually giving me something Adrian here. Brody, and Adrian Brody, I thought that this was his best. I know you, I probably think Budapest
is his best. But this is great. I think he's really good.
In, yeah.
He's like, I think it stinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least like a second before, he's like, it's brilliant. It's marvelous. Mm. We did it.
Yeah. So like, I liked all that. Like, I just, so that one I liked.
And like, well, can I ask you, like, you know, it's in black and white. Did that,
some
was
of it.
Yeah, but like, was that like, the black and white is kind of the stuff in the past in black and white.
Okay.
And then when it's something that like seemed, well, this is my take on it, that like when you see the people set eyes on the painting, it bursts into color.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like it's punching through.
Yeah.
So like when you see it in color from gone, for me, I thought that was so effective. I was like, wow.
Like the color seems to pop so much more.
Yeah, oh my God, it's jumping off the screen. Like,
it did. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. I cannot fault how it looked. And even just the different, like, the different sort of setups of, like, everyone, like, holding their poses and all that sort of stuff. Like I said, it was like one big art. It was like a, it seemed like the first 20, 30 minutes, I was like, this does seem like a very French movie.
Well, that's it. Like, you know, it is. But that's not to everybody's taste.
Yeah.
But.
And I would have maybe thought that I would have liked that sort of thought if you'd have described it to me. But
it's so funny that, like, you love the Japanese culture, but, like, then the French culture. Well, I would have thought maybe you would have kind of dug that as well.
Last thing, like, I do like the French culture, but this, maybe I don't like the French movie culture.
But the French, like, in the 60s. You know, do you like that? Like,
I don't know.
You know, that kind of, like, they're all on their Vespas and, like, you're one with her helmet on the whole time.
Yeah, like, I like that. But, like, they could have made it interesting, like Isle of Dogs. I thought, well, in my opinion.
It's different, you know, though, because Isle of Dogs is a plotty film.
Isle of Dogs had a story and,
yeah,
you know.
That's it, though.
Yeah,
like, you know?
It is it. That is actually it.
But these are mini stories.
But they're just things happening. But they were just saying things. Like, I could just say 1,000 random words in a word generator to you, and you say 1,000 random word generator stuff back to me.
Erroneous.
There's your movie.
Erroneous on both counts. That's not how the film works. That's not. It's not. You're saying that they go, this is.
Yeah, I know.
That's not it.
I know. But I couldn't tell you what it. I couldn't tell you what it was about. I knew it was this publication, and I knew it was.
It's about the death of the editor.
The editor, yeah.
And then you go through the stories.
Didn't get enough Bill Murray either.
I kind of like that there wasn't too much Bill Murray, because the bits you get I thought were very good, where it's like it kind of bookends each story with him being like, can you take that bit out or whatever, you know? And like how he seemed to be the guy that would like go to bat for his writers, as opposed to a lot of editors don't do that, apparently. Like, so, you know, I think, like, even if we go to the second one.
Is that
like,
the poetry one?
The poetry one?
There was, like, a poetry section. There was, like, art. There was.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know what you're talking about. So, I can't remember what. Like, Food and Drink is the last one. Maybe it is poetry is the second one.
Food and Drink was okay. So I didn't necessarily enjoy it, but like that was
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, Meet Your Man. Like, I thought he
Jeffrey
was very
Wright
good.
How did he not get a nomination?
He
for
was
like
good.
Best Supporting Actor. Or
yeah,
something
he was
like
very
that.
Good.
He was fucking great.
So that's the thing. Like, I could kind of, and this thing, like, I watched half an hour of it. I watched in work yesterday on my lunch. I watched as much as I could stand yesterday before.
The last bit, I was leant over the toilet getting sick with the phone in my hand.
And then I watched the last half hour today. And it's like, and the ultimate insult to Kerry as well. It's like, I made her watch this. And then it's like, I'll watch the rest tomorrow. stuck on like Rick and Morty, which we've been watching. I was asleep in 5 minutes. She's like, you motherfucker. Like, now we can't even enjoy Rick and Morty together because you're so tired from this shite movie. But
you need to sort out your watching habits, my friend.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I need to do at all.
Yeah, it is.
You're confusing your watching habits with my watching habits. I'm quite happy with my watching habits.
I don't think you are.
I was watching this movie. I was like your man from Heavyweights. You know, the skinny guy. He's like, this bites. You know.
Oh, Pete.
Just coming back. Yeah, just coming back. I was watching it with Carrie. I was like, this is fucking shite.
Well, that's the way to go into a movie, isn't it?
No, this arms is like an hour in. Oh, an hour in. I was like, this, what are they talking about? It was one of these movies that just made me angry. It was like Mank. I think
it's different to
Mank. Levels.
It's different. No, I don't think it's better. The same as those.
It was that inaccessible. I'm like,
I don't think it's
looking around the room like,
I don't think it's definitely not as inaccessible as I Think You Should Leave. Not I Think You Should Leave. I'm Thinking of Ending Things. I Think You Should Leave is very accessible.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Thinking of Ending Things. Yeah, yeah.
Tim Robinson.
Yeah, yeah. Close one.
Season 3 is coming down.
I see that.
Now, I want to talk about the...
Go on.
The last part, even. Like, because you don't seem to want to talk about Timothée Chalamet's... Section.
That's the part I could tell you the least of it. I don't know. I just
what about the music though used in that part? Like that, the tip top.
Yeah, you know? But it was all starting to get to me then. You know what I mean? Like that was getting to me, and then the little clippity clop music was coming in.
I know. Fucking brilliant, Andy.
No, but it was all
so
too
good.
You fuck off as well with that music.
But the score is so good; it like builds it up. Like
I do you know. Taking all my bullshit aside, it was well composed, it was well done. Like, yeah,
and what, like, you know, when he, the way they do it, that like he dies,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like, and I had that feeling of like, if I was 20 or whatever, like I probably would have climbed up that thing because I was a fucking idiot when I was younger.
Yeah.
Like, I climbed the fucking cliff face of Hoth without a harness, and I think back now I'm like, what? Like that was when I was like 16. And I was like, could have very easily fallen to my death. Like 100%, like you're literally climbing a rock face.
Like if I slip, I'm dead.
Yeah, like, and still did it. Like,
see, when you get older and you weigh up, like, if the worst case scenario is I die, like, I'm not doing it. You know what I mean? You don't think of that when you're at that age.
No. So like the way they did his death, I thought was great.
You don't even see it though, do you? Like,
you see, like, it's just, he has, it's kind of like Fantastic Mr. Fox or Isle of Dogs, where it's like, you know, lightning bolts, and then it just cuts to like the parents in the car crying, like, and
I was like, ooh. Was that the bit that got you?
No, there was a bit that got me in this. I take it there wasn't for you.
No, I mean, it got me something. It didn't get me emotional.
Got you hard?
What?
Got you hard?
Well, the first 20 minutes, sure.
So the bit that got me was in part 3, which is, you know, the policeman's dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of bits because Jeffrey Wright is so good in it that, like, when he talks, there's two bits. I mean, first of all, I love him and Liev Schreiber. Just the two of them at the talk show.
Yeah,
I'm like, that was good. Oh, I can make a whole movie of that.
I kind of liked that, and like, I liked, you know, that he's remembering everything. He can remember everything he wrote. It's like, let me just take a second to dog ear the
so
page.
Good, like,
you know, and the fact that when he comes back to it, he's like, meanwhile, yes, meanwhile, though, like, you
he's
know,
like, I'm back now. Yeah, you know, like when he talks, there's a couple of it. When he is in the chicken coop. When Bill Murray comes, like this, he portrays like three different characters. It's the same guy, but it's the three different character, same guy at three different stages in his life. And whatever he does with his face, just like, you know, the first time he meets Bill Murray is when he's there at his youngest. The majority of his story is him, say, midway through his life when he's working as a writer.
Yeah,
and then the end point is him. Older, you know, talking to Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
And like, he looks different. Like, I don't just mean like clothes or whatever. His face looks different.
His energy is different.
Yeah. Like, he's so soft looking
yeah.
the first time. I was like, Even just him being like, thank you. You know, I was like, that kind of got me. And when he talks about how he asked him, like, you wrote about this, true crime, fiction, crime, false crime. When you always write about food, and then it kind of goes, the lights go down.
Yeah, yeah.
And he talks about how he's lonely. And
yeah, yeah.
I was like, that really got to me where it was like, this, he's like, I wouldn't change it. I chose this life.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I'm a lonely person that, like.
Why was it that when Bill Murray said, like, this is the best part of the whole thing, you know, at the very end, why was he like, I couldn't disagree more? Do you know, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think it was more that, like, my thoughts on it were that, like, he doesn't want it to be printed. That was my thing.
Because he went through, like, a lot and he didn't want to cheapen it.
It was this thing between the two of them.
Yeah, he didn't want other people in.
It was like, I don't know, it's kind of funny because it's like, if maybe it's like that other people wouldn't understand, like the fact that the two of them were, you know, foreigners in this land. But he also kind of picked up the idea that, like, you know, maybe, like, he's talking about being a foreigner, he's talking about being gay, like, he talked about, like, the curse of the homosexual, you know, like, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's based on James Baldwin, like, the character itself, who is, like, I don't know if you've ever seen any of his, like, interviews or whatever. He's a very well-spoken man. He was a writer. I think he was a writer for The New Yorker as well. But he moved to Paris to get out of America because he was like, I'm a black man, a black gay man in America.
Yeah.
There's nothing here for me. Yeah. Like, you know, that's, you know.
I'd imagine Paris would be far more, well, it's European. Like,
yeah, but that's, you know.
Far more accepting.
And I just, even like that moment as well got me where it was like the chef, Nescafe, like, saying,
I like that when he's like dying, he was
sick
and he was like, it tasted horrible, like, or whatever, but it was
new taste. You know, like,
at my age, that's, you know,
a rare thing. And like, you kind of got the impression, well, for me anyway, I kind of picked up on, like, maybe he, like, as well as being a foreigner, that, like, he was also gay, and you know, they kind of were on those same levels. Like,
like, that's like I like all those.
There's loads of good bits in
this. Yeah, like, I like all those bits in.
What about the animation, though, as well?
Yeah.
No, Yellow Submarine-esque, like.
Take a hike at this stage.
I loved it.
Like, this is my problem. I can't... Like, if I'm locked out, I'm like, I'm not gonna be like, well, fuck that place then, if they're kicking me out. You know what I mean? It's like you get kicked out of a club. Like, that place is shite anyway. Like, so everything after that is just like, nah.
You're not banging trying to get back in.
No,
trying to sneak back in.
Like this through the window. So look, I'm sorry. I'm not giving you the discourse.
You're not giving these guys out there the discourse.
Do yourselves a favor.
It's good. Good movie. It's a good movie.
There is good elements to it. I would love to, like, I'll say that, but like it.
I'll tell you now, I enjoyed this more than Isle of Dogs.
I don't get it.
Purely.
Why did you? Why? You're making it up. No, you didn't.
I'm not making up. I did. It affected me more than the Isle of Dogs. The pure filmmaking. I knew as I was watching it, it was like, they're speaking too fast for him.
Like, he's going to hate this.
Yeah, he's like, because I was like, oh, I don't know, like kind of the Japanese in Isle of Dogs, where I'm like, I don't really understand every, I don't know exactly, but I'm like, oh, like, but he's going to meet the police chief or whatever like that. Like, and even that scene where he's wandering around the police station.
Yeah.
The way that, I sent you on the clip of that, the behind the scenes, with the camera on the
tracks.
Yeah.
Like,
it's,
was that one?
Yeah. It's fucking brilliant. Like.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I really respect Wes Anderson so much more after all this. Now, I can't say that, but
let me ask you.
Yeah.
Have you learned what's so great about Wes Anderson?
Just don't clench your fist if I say anything positive. Just yet. All right.
Okay.
I respect him more as a filmmaker.
That's not the question.
I know why other people think he's great now. You know what I mean? And some of it I agree with, and some of it I don't.
You went from a zero.
I'm zero to like a six. You know what I mean? In that.
That's pretty good. You know, okay, let's, in comparison.
Can we get to the awards?
Yeah, okay. But like, hold on. In comparison to like Ryan Gosling.
I think Wes Anderson is more talented than Ryan Gosling, but I think I was more won over by the end of Ryan Gosling.
Okay, nope.
You know what I mean?
At least you're won over on all three. That's
this
isn't,
I'm not gushing.
You will be. when you're talking at your fancy dinner parties. Interesting fact about Wes Anderson. Bill Murray's been in nine of his movies.
Yeah, I'm glad that we watched them.
Good in.
It was tough going at some points, but I think it was ultimately worth it.
Every one of his movies, not one movie goes over 2 hours, and you're saying it's
appreciate that fact. Every single movie looked great. I cannot fault his filmmaking.
He's an excellent director.
His screenwriting is what I would have issue with, not his filmmaking.
Do you think the screenwriting has gotten worse as it goes along?
I think it's been about the same, to be honest. It's kind of peaks and valleys. Like for me, it was kind of I thought Rushmore was pretty good. I'll have my top 10, but I thought Rushmore and Tenenbaums was all right. I liked Life Aquatic. Didn't really love Darjeeling, Mr. Fox. Then it kind of went back up a bit for Grand Budapest, Isle of Dogs, and then back down for French Dispatch. So it was kind of, you know, kind of up and down.
Okay, so do you want to do the rankings first, or do you want to do the awards, do you?
Yes. Where did I save them? Oh, yeah, I took a note. Okay. Now, we've got a couple of awards to give out here. So we will start with favorite needle drop of the 10 movies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go first?
No, you go first. You should go first on each one of these.
Okay. I will say Nico these days. And that comes on now a lot on my Spotify, and I love it. And when I first heard it, I was like, this isn't the Jackson Browne version. I was like, who's this? She can't even sing.
Yeah.
And now I think I prefer it so much more. And I think of that scene all the time when it's on.
It's brilliant. It is a brilliant scene.
And it makes me now, when the song comes on, it makes me go like it makes me go in the car like, ooh, like out loud. But the scene itself was great. I loved the little, like, you know, even, like, the sailors before in the background walking, and just everything about it was like, just very, very nice.
The Alec Baldwin narration, as usual, she was late.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
now I will say, with an honourable mention for This Time Tomorrow, the Darjeeling Limited, when they're at the very start.
That was the peak of that movie.
Yeah.
It was all downhill from there afterwards.
But anyway, that'll be mine. What's yours?
Nico was always up there.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Is it from Royal Tenenbaums?
No.
Oh, okay.
What were you going to guess from Royal Tenenbaums?
The Luke Wilson.
I mean, Needle in the Hay.
Needle in the Hay. I thought it was going to be.
It's kind of funny because they drop off in terms of needle drops.
Mm.
Like, I think the last ones.
Didn't really consider any of the last four or five, to be honest.
They don't really have them. Yeah. Like, you know, I actually think, for me, the best one is Rushmore. And it is The Wind by Cat Stevens.
Okay.
And it was a close one between The Wind and it was I Am Waiting by Rolling Stones from that movie as well. The Wind, we talked about it on a Rushmore episode, but that seems ages ago now. But it was like, when he's like, Dirk, take dictation. And it's like, I listen to the wind. I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
A poodle. I'm like, oh, God.
Excuse me. Go on.
So that would be my number one, like my top one. They're like Life Aquatic had some that, like, they're not really like needle drops per se, but like their music moments, like the whole the pirate music, like dun 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 dun.
Yeah,
dun,
yeah.
Dun, you know,
that was great.
Know,
yeah.
Like that was fucking great.
Mark Mothersbaugh at his peak.
Ah, yeah, that was the last one. And there's like a couple in Fantastic Mr. Fox that always get me. Mm. Like, you know, Heroes and Villains.
Afraid I'm going to have to stop you at one, Terry.
Okay. Well, it's The Wind by Cat Stevens. Okay.
Heroes and Villains, though, yeah, was, you know, that kind of won me around the first
there's
time.
There's so many to choose.
Sorry to cut you off.
And like Nico is.
Yeah, that'd be top five, would it?
Top three.
Okay. Favorite scene? I'm going to say where they find the jaguar shark in Life Aquatic. Oh.
I wonder if it remembers me. That was my favorite age.
Like this?
Just like that.
You do it too.
Just even thinking about it makes me actually want to well up. The way Sigur Rós's music is coming in louder and louder, it's like, I wonder if he remembers me. And then Bill Murray's crying, and there I'll put the hand on shoulder. I'm like, I thought it was excellent. Big fan. That'd be mine. How about yours?
It's Grand Budapest.
Yeah.
And it is the scene with Zero and Gustav when they break out of prison. And that scene where they have
they're talking in front of the prison, like,
yeah, and you know, Harvey Keitel and them have run off in the background, yeah. But he's like, okay, to the safe house, and he's like, I couldn't find one.
Yeah,
you know, like, there's like a couple of jokes there, and then we talked about it a few weeks ago, that whole conversation where he kind of like starts laying into him.
I suppose this is to be expected back in where do you come from again?
Axelim al-Jabbat.
Precisely. I suppose this is to be expected back in Axelim al-Jabbat, where one's prized possessions are a stack of filthy carpets and a starving goat, and one sleeps behind a tent flap and survives on wild dates and scarabs. But it's not how I trained you. What on God's earth possessed you to leave the homeland where you very obviously belong and travel unspeakable distances to become a penniless immigrant in a refined, highly cultivated society that, quite frankly, could have gotten along very well without you?
The war.
Well, say again?
Well, you see, my father was murdered, and the rest of my family were executed by firing squad. Our village was burned to the ground, and those who managed to survive were forced to flee. I left because of the war.
I see, so you're actually really more of a refugee in that sense?
Truly.
Well, I suppose I better take back everything I just said. What a bloody idiot I am. Pathetic fool. Goddamn selfish bastard. This is disgraceful, and it's beneath the standards of the Grand Budapest. I apologize on behalf of the hotel.
It's not your fault, Monsieur Gustav. You were just upset I forgot the
perfume.
Don't
make excuses for me. I owe you my life. You are my dear friend and protege, and I'm very proud of you. You must know that. I'm so sorry, Zero.
We're brothers.
Yeah.
And then he's like, the war is what made me leave my country. And then he's like, oh, I'm a bloody idiot, you know that. You know, he talks himself around. He's like, I'm sorry. It's yeah. You know, it's,
that's interesting.
It's, man, beneath me, and it's beneath the hotel, and you know,
yeah.
And then Zero was like, we're brothers, and they're like, yes, we are. I got off stuff here, there.
Yeah, the alarm sounded.
Yeah, I just love it. Like, there's so many different permutations.
A nice joke,
like that. It's like it. That's what makes that movie great. That's what makes it his best movie. Is that like. Something like that, then, like, and then it doesn't like undercut it, but it like,
that's,
it's like,
it
like moves it along. Okay, look, that was,
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
You know, we've got plot to go to.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's so good.
Okay, excellent. Best performance, we may both have the same.
I think it's hard.
Ralph Rafe Fiennes,
yeah,
from Grand Budapest, I would say.
Have you got a runner up or honorable
mention?
I have two.
That
pushed it close, to be honest.
Three,
probably.
I may even say Owen Wilson in Life Aquatic.
That one wasn't even on my list, but it's brilliant. Like, it's so good. I'm going to fight you, Steve. Look at all these jellyfish.
What was your honourable mentions, V?
Bruce Willis in Moonrise Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's brilliant in it. It's best performance of his. His last best performance, you know what I mean? Jeffrey Wright in French Dispatch, I think, is brilliant. Bill Murray in Rushmore as Herman Bloom, I think, is...
Yeah, that was great, actually.
So good, like...
Most aesthetically pleasing movie? I would say The French Dispatch.
Wow!
Like, if I'm separating my personal thoughts on the movie with the pure aesthetics of it. I thought it was...
Looks great.
Fantastic. And stunning.
We didn't even talk about the first scene, almost, when the guy is, like, setting his...
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
And then him walking up the stairs, all that, like, it looks brilliant. Like,
so I thought that's probably the most aesthetically pleasing.
Grand Budapest was for me.
Okay, yeah.
It's the same thing. Yeah. That it is very, like, the pinks and the blues and
the
all
the colours
that,
stand out for me most in Grand Budapest, you know what I mean? Where I think of, like, when I would think of it, I just think of colour.
You're right in what you're saying in French Dispatch. It was really striking. Like, even when it was just in the office, I was like, wow.
There wasn't a
colour so vibrant. And I think that's because you're going between black and white to colour. And you're like, whoa.
But there wasn't a bad looking second in French Dispatch, I will say, as much as I didn't like it. Best soundtrack, I will say The Royal Tenenbaums.
Ooh.
They just had, I can't remember offhand exactly what they had, but I just remember
they've loads.
They had a bunch that
Stephanie
I loved.
Stephanie says they've two Rolling Stones, like She Smiles Sweetly and Ruby Tuesday.
Yeah.
You get Van Morrison at the end. You get Hey Jude instrumental playing. Like,
there was low. I remember so several occasions of me like, motherfuckers, they're getting me. What about you?
I have Rushmore as mine.
Rushmore was good, I remember.
Because it just has, like, you know, it has that Who song that I absolutely love. I actually, because I wanted to listen to, I broke out the old hard drive, linked it up to my Bluetooth speaker at the weekend, listening to Inside Llewyn Davis soundtrack. But I also then actually had the Rushmore one on. And, like, there's so many songs on there that you're like, we kind of, I don't think we talked about it. Like, Cat Stevens on it, like, Here Comes My Baby, Oh Yoko.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's another John Lennon, Look At Me.
Oh, great one.
You know, like,
love it.
It's just Blinuet, you know, it's good
those
stuff.
Those first, like, even Bottle Rocket had a few that had Love and a few of those. But I think Rushmore, Tenenbaums, and Life Aquatic, I think, were, you know, every to like
even thingy Darjeeling. The best thing about Darjeeling,
I can't believe I was going to actually miss that. Yeah, I was going to actually put Darjeeling as my, I actually had Darjeeling as best soundtrack, and I got
it's really good. It's not, in my opinion, it's not its best, but like,
I just really dug the Indian music in it, and it had, like, I really liked the Kinks a lot more now than I did before, so it kind of got me into that. But
Kinks is in Rushmore as well, actually. Yeah.
Funniest movie. For me, I'd say Life Aquatic. I know most people would not say that. I just laughed. I just genuinely laughed more at Life Aquatic, so I've got to give it to that. I'm sure, like, there's better jokes in, like, Royal Tenenbaums or Rushmore or something like that, but Life Aquatic just made me laugh.
If we're going with this watcher and what made me laugh the most, it's Moonrise Kingdom for me.
Ooh.
There was so many bits in it, because I was like, oh yeah, this is kind of like him in his middle tier. And it was so funny for me, just like Ed Norton being an absolute breath of fresh air.
Yeah,
possibly my favorite line in the whole series is Harvey Keitel, when they're telling him, like, what his whole troop's gone missing. He's like, where's this bimbo? I don't know why. Him with his mustache saying bimbo, like, to describe a scout leader. It's so funny. Like,
all right, last one. Movie that gives you the most feels. I'd probably say Moonrise Kingdom. I think it was, like, this was the most uplifting one out of the 10, I thought. You know, it was the most... It wasn't too dour. I mean, I'm not saying the other ones were dour. Some of them were. But, you know.
Some of them get heavy. Some of them get heavy.
This was uplifting. It was a nice, like we said at the time, it was a nice, like, no fucking...
There's certainly bits in it that got me.
Yeah, and I just thought, you know, the kids, so it was very wholesome. I just, you know, I just, yeah, I kind of, that one I latched onto a bit more, so.
Royal Tenenbaums for me. Ooh. Has the bit that always gets me, that, like...
I've had a rough year, Dad.
Yeah. Every time, like this time especially, I was like, actual like big chubby like fat tears. Brilliant. Like literally put my hand over my eyes, being like,
brilliant.
Let it out, big guy.
You need a pat
because
in the back.
Like. It's okay. That scene, it's like, because it has that like choir of angels in the background.
Yeah.
And like I think we talked about it when Ed was on, when we were like, Gene Hackman plays it perfectly. It was like, I got you a dog.
Yeah.
He's like, you did? He's like, thank you. He's like, you're welcome. Like, just even.
Yeah,
though,
yeah.
It's almost like his throat is catching, and then like he's like, oh, yeah. I had a rub. He's like, I know you have chest. Like, and then it's like,
All right. We'll finish up with our final rankings. Now, mm-hmm. I'm throwing my actual ratings out the window, and okay. I'm going purely on feel.
Okay.
So, number 10, French Dispatch.
Wah, wah.
Bottom by a good distance.
Wow, okay.
Hated it. Number 9, Bottle Rocket. Number 8, Darjeeling. Number 7, Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Rude.
Number 6, Royal Tenenbaums. Number 5, Rushmore. Number 4, Isle of Dogs. Number 3, Grand Budapest. Number 2, Life Aquatic. And number 1, Moonrise Kingdom.
Wow. Okay.
What's yours? Do you have?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know if I asked you to do this. On
no, screen. But I've been going by my ranking okay. anyway, in my head.
So you remember? Your memory is so much better than mine.
Number 10 is fucking Grand Budapest. Not Grand Budapest, Darjeeling Limited. Excuse me. Number 1.
This guy and his ratings, huh?
Number 10 is Darjeeling Limited. Number mm-hmm. 9 is Bottle Rocket. Number 8 is Isle of Dogs. Number 7 is Life Aquatic. Number 6 is, I'm just trying to think it through here. Am I doing it right? Number 6 is uh-huh. French Dispatch. Number 5 is Fantastic Mr. Fox. Number 4 is Rushmore. Number 3 is Royal Tenenbaums. Number 2 is Moonrise Kingdom. Number 1 is Grand Budapest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're very well. Some of it we're actually not that far off. Our middle ones are kind of.
I mean, my French Dispatch is like 6.
6.
Yeah.
So like. In the bottom half.
Yeah, but like, but if we're doing it, I gave it an 8.75. It's my like my top half.
Probably 7.5.
Yeah. My top half is like 9.5, 9.75, yeah.
10. Right, right,
so,
right.
So, you know.
They're all pretty high company.
Yeah.
Good company. Okay, well, look. Is this it? Are we going to reveal what the next series is?
I'll be right back.
Oh, my. What is this? What have you got prepared? What is this?
What have you got there?
Boy.
That's right.
Not what I expected.
We're doing Nick Cage.
Good. Is this going to be accessible now? Are people seeing these movies?
Nick Cage?
Yeah.
He's done like a million
like
movies.
Like his last 10 years worth.
Oh, we're not doing this last 10 years. We're doing from... Like, I have it narrowed down to 11 movies.
Age of Cage.
Yeah.
11? No, 10 movies.
I have it to 11. I think I'm going by the essentials.
Sorry, help me out here.
I know, but we're revisiting ones we've done in the past. We'll be taking a little trip to Alcatraz again to go...
Was Con Air in it?
No, because we did Con Air, but I'm talking about, yeah. like, The Rock, when we did yeah. years ago. We'll be going down to New Orleans to revisit Bad Lieutenant. You know what I mean?
Okay. I'm begging you to reduce it from 11's too much.
12.
You're going the wrong way. Give me like 9 or 10.
No.
You're going to have to cut some. That's a too
movie.
Indulgent.
No,
that's
it's
too
not.
Indulgent.
No, it's not.
It is.
Andy, there's so much I'm after cutting out here. I've got it to 11.
11
of like he's got like 500 movies.
That's
it's only one
insane.
More it's 1 week more. What is your problem?
It's too many. When is it going to be my turn? I can't take it anymore. When is it going to be my turn? I want the next one.
No.
I'll do 11 if I can pick the next one.
No.
And it'll be a mini series.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
On the main feed.
Yeah. On the, no, Patreon. How many? Right. No, okay. But you got to come up with a good concept, though.
Well,
90s action is vague.
That was great. That was great. It was fine. It was fine. I'll think of a concept for it. Right.
I'm excited. Nick Cage.
Okay. Thought you were going to go PTA.
He's there. He won't be. I don't. You can't.
Because I thought that'd be more accept. I think I thought people would have seen.
People are gonna see Nicolas Cage. You've seen The Rock. They've seen Face Off. You know, like they're gonna know what we're talking about.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Get on board. Come on.
I'm on. But look, this is part of the process. I'm just thinking of the people. I want it to be accessible as well. I want people to be like
the way I have a plan is we've done a director.
Because Wes, I was like, okay, great. Sorry to interrupt you all the time, but because like, Wes, I was like, well, Wes is in the zeitgeist. You know, that's
who's having a bigger moment than Nick Cage right now. Like,
okay,
he's
okay.
Back.
Okay. Hmm? Okay.
He's playing Dracula in his next movie.
Is Pig one of them?
Pig is one of them.
Okay.
Yeah. There's ones in there that you're going to be like, holy shit, this is.
But the thing is, I kind of know what's so great about Nicolas Cage.
Do you though?
Yeah. I think so.
I don't think you do.
I like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. But like, you don't know. Like, there's so many. If I said to you,
I'd almost.
Nicolas Cage did a movie with the Coen brothers. What's the name of it? Yeah, exactly. And it's fantastic.
What is it?
Raising Arizona.
Okay.
You know, there's loads of Nicolas Cage blind spots you have.
You know what?
You have 100 blind spots.
Okay, this is just part of my process.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be dismissive at first. I'll be climbing a scale in a building. And you'll say, come on down, it's fine. I'll be throwing stuff down. All right, fine. Because at least they're not going to be the fucking quirk fest that
but they're all different directors as well, so you're getting a big spectrum.
Okay,
there might be one or two quirks fests in it.
Okay, one or two.
But like, he has so many phases of his career.
Okay,
like he's got like 90s action Nick Cage, you got 2000s critically acclaimed
adaptation in it. I've seen that.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
and imagine how good it's going to be
so you can knock that off the list.
No seen that. We got to talk adaptation. What are you talking about?
Okay, fine.
There's good stuff.
Are they accessible? Are they on streaming services?
Oh yeah. Okay. You get most of them on streaming services. I'm sure. The ones that you mightn't would be something like
the later ones,
Pig or Mandy, maybe.
Okay.
Mandy might be on Netflix.
They're not all just mad movies, are they? Like,
what do you mean? Like
they're not all like mad fucking just like what is this? Like, are some of them just genuine? Like, I mean, talking about like the last 15 years worth.
Oh, none of them. Like we're not doing any of his VOD stuff.
What's that?
Like, direct to video. Yeah. I had to make this Christian movie.
Yeah, it's not. Okay, fine. You know what? I'm just gonna have fun with it.
I had to make this movie because my spending habits are too, you know, crazy.
Okay.
Okay. It's going to be good. Andy.
Okay.
Get on board.
It's part of the process.
Yeah.
I was dismissive like this on Wes, and
jerk.
Then I got on board. Okay, well there you go.
That's it. You're kidding.
We're gonna take a little. We'll still be recording, but we're gonna do a little series break for like 2 weeks.
We're gonna put I think we're gonna put
maybe a week off.
Spider-Man No Way Home on the main feed. We're gonna do that on the main feed, and then we're gonna do an Andy's pick, or flip it, do an Andy's pick. Spider-Man No Way Home.
How long is Spider-Man No Way Home?
It's long. It's like 2 hours at 20, maybe. We gotta do it. We gotta keep up with the Marvel stuff.
Okay.
That's why we're doing it on the main feed, because we're not doing a movie and then Spider-Man on the Patreon, because that'd be two.
Okay, yeah.
Two movies.
That'd be crazy. All right.
If anything, I want more movies. I want one.
I know.
One on the main feed and one on the Patreon.
This podcast used to just be a couple of guys chatting about The Simpsons, and now Terry's fine-tuned it, laser-focused it. Well, he's got to watch the movies now if I make the podcast about that.
Look at the charts. It speaks for itself.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah? We had like 5 episodes in the chat.
We're going to get no guests on this series.
They're going to be queuing up to talk about Nicolas Cage. Are you kidding me?
All right, well, look. we'll put a bow on that. On the social media, you can find us at WSGAPod on Twitter. You can find us at What's So Great About Pod on Instagram. You'll find links to everything we do, including the Patreon.
Oh, the Patreon. Mm-hmm. Now, we have two tiers. Our first tier is our pay what you want, our hungry hearts tier. It's literally, I think the minimum payment is a euro. And for that, you get 4 bonus episodes per month. So you get 1 a week, and you get access to all of our back catalogue of What's So Great About MCU, What's So Great About 90s Action, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, great series, What's So Great About Big Willy's Flops, aka Will Smith's Bad Movies.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you get a bunch of, like,
you get about 100 extra.
Yeah, episodes. Like, there's top fives. There's, you know, we made bespoke playlists for one another. You get access to our Pitch It in H, which is, you know.
Get me trying to force Terry. Again, I've interrupted. I'm sorry. Nope. You get me trying to force some of my emo tastes on Terry. Huh? Hmm. See how we like that one.
Huh? Yeah, do listen to it and see how I like that.
And we have a bunch of pitch meetings, as Terry was about to say before he was rudely interrupted.
And also, if you came here for The Simpsons, you get it on the Patreon these days. Our Put It in H is back once a month on the Patreon. We're working our way through season 3 of The Simpsons.
Classic.
Yeah, we've got 2 in the can so far. It's been good.
Yeah, it has been good. I've been enjoying it.
There's loads of stuff there. And the other tier we have is the $5 backer, our Big Shots tier. And for that, you get everything I just mentioned there, plus we've introduced a Q&A session to be done once a month. So you can ask us Qs, you $5 mm-hmm. backers. And we'll give you the A's. And also A's. Then you get...
Huh? We'll give you that A's.
And you also will get access to all the video stuff we put together. Hi. You'll get to see our mugs if you want to.
Who wouldn't want to see that, huh?
Plenty. But if you can't afford it, I mean, you can pay a euro. If you can't
afford it, you got problems.
If you can't afford it, you can do me something else. You can give me a rating or review. Now, Andy.
Yes?
Did you realize that in this film, Roebuck Wright was imprisoned for the wrong kind of love, and his bail was set by Bill Murray, who paid him 500 francs for a book review? Now, I don't want a 500-star review.
That'd be crazy.
No, but... Yeah, maybe knock those 2 zeros off the end, get rid of the francs, and just give me a 5-star review.
How does he do it?
Literally pulling it out of my ass as I go along.
Very impressive.
Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, you know, whatever. Wherever you get your podcast, give us a review.
They let you review it, give us 5 of them.
Please.
Please.
5 separate reviews that are all 5 stars.
And thank you to everyone who has done.
Yeah, really appreciate it. We're back in the charts. Oh my God.
Huh?
And you're back in my heart. Not this guy, though. Otherwise, if you've made it this far, thanks so much. You're doing the Lord's work. And...
I love you.
Of course.
I love you.
If you want the big L from me, it's behind the paywall on Patreon.
You gotta pay for that.
You gotta pay
for that
big throbbing L.
Okay.
So we will see you next week for...
Spider-Man.
Oh, okay, we're going Spider-Man.
Right? Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay, excellent.
I'm going to do delayed gratification, and I'm going to...
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to save it.
Tantric.
Yes.
Yes.
Building up as we speak, so...
Okay, so Spider-Man next week. Excellent.
Yeah. Is that on Netflix or...?
No. Fucking okay. Sony. Blame Sony.
I do.
Yeah.
On that note, folks, we will catch you next week for Spider-Man and...
No Way Home.
Goodbye.
Oh.
I've been in this town so long that back in the city I've been taken for lost and gone, and I've known for a long, long time. Fell in love years ago with an innocent girl from the Spanish and Indian home for Muppet Negroes and once at night, Cotillion Square, goodbye, and she was right in the rain of the boats that eventually brought her down.
Children were raised, you know, they suddenly rise. They started slow, long ago, head to toe, healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Of like, he's got like 500 movies.